Good morning, everybody. Thanks for coming out on this nice and warm end Sunday of July in 2018. And for the Branch Church, we're almost 3 years old. Give us a couple of months, and we're going to have a grand celebration as we look in year four to plant another church, just like we were planted 3 years ago. At the end of 4 years, we're going to take part in a brand new church being planted out in Salmon Creek. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, wow. God is doing something, and he's doing something through you. Do you believe it? Need you to feel that, need you to understand that, because that's what God wants to do. God wants you to partner with him in the world-changing coming of the kingdom to every heart and every home, to every place on the planet. God's design is that everyone would know the way to him. That's through Jesus Christ. We say it around here, we want to know Jesus, and then we want to make him known. We say it like this, we want to make him known to the growing numbers of folks that are coming out to live out here in the East County area, including Camas and Washougal, that are uninformed, underinformed, or simply misinformed about who Jesus is. It's really an educational campaign, the church is. We're educating people about the truth of God, about the truth that we have fallen short of his design and desire for us, of our own will we have. But yet he has, through his incredible love for each of us, and through the grace that he put together this wonderful plan of redemption, this plan of reconciliation, to bring us back into a connection with God the Father. Jesus takes care of the penalty of sin that I've committed, that you've committed, that everyone on earth has committed. He took care of that for us. And so as a free gift, we get heaven. We get to live in kingdom and have that kingdom have its fullest expression in heaven one day. It doesn't get any better than that. You know, one of the things I enjoy so much about the community of the church, this right here, and as we connect during the week and as we serve together in things like the Family Fun Fest, and it, is that there's an encouragement that happens when we connect as people of God, people that wear the name of Jesus, because we want to be like Jesus. We want to be, you know, in the way of Jesus. We want to respond to things like Jesus. We want to just grow in that and develop in that. And as we do, we affect each other for good and better. We really do. We enlarge each other's scope of really who we are. There's an encouragement that happens. You see, life can get hard. Has it for you at times? It can get hard. And there are people that have walked through into this room in the past 2.5 years that have been suffering, that have been dealt a blow, that are disheartened, that friends, frankly, are simply discouraged about life. They might be going through and have dealt with a season of trouble, or maybe they just had an event happen in their lives that has been so discouraging. And they come through and they sit among us like some may be right now. And they're looking for some hope, perhaps some healing, or maybe just a little help. They're looking, if possible, to be encouraged about life. And if we were to survey the room, some of us would, yep, that happened to me, or I'm in it right now. I hope I can walk away lifted today. And I hope you can too. That's the intent of our God. That's the intent of Jesus as the Son of God, is to be an encourager to us in our lives. I just want to let you know, church, for me, this gathering strengthens and encourages me. I come away from Sundays, I come away lifted. You know, in part, of course, because of Jesus, but in part because of you. Because of your just simple presence that emboldens me that, wow, people are stretching themselves, you know, reaching out to God, connecting with people, loving on people, and you come up and give me a hug, or you, you say something kind to me and you encourage my heart. And I'm encouraged by that. Thank you. This time reframes or resets life for me. It gives me again the big picture that God is indeed the creator, that Jesus is the one who is the ultimate leader and savior of all, our savior king. It refocuses me on the promises of God that this life is not the end. It's the next life I'm living for. That I'm living here and now in light of where I'm going. And I have that picture of where I'm going. It's called that heavenly paradise. It's this place where the devil's gone, defeated, out, where sinners won't be there. Evil people won't make it. So yeah, there's going to be a place of, it's going to be awesome. Just imagining some of that. I just want to thank you for encouraging me. Thank you for encouraging each other. Your presence and reaching out to each other are making a huge life encouraging and sometimes, friends, life saving difference, because discouragement can become a big problem for people. There's an ancient story about discouragement. The story goes like this. The devil is going out of business and he's selling his tools to whomever bids the most for them. So one night, he opened the doors to his customers and showcased all his tools: hate, jealousy, fear, deceit, lust, and many more. You can go on and on. But somewhere in a dark corner of the room was a very old, seemingly harmless and worn-out object, looking as if it had been used throughout all time, and yet it had the highest price of all those tools. Somebody asked the devil what that instrument was and why was it so expensive. Discouragement, answered the devil. It's the most expensive tool because it is the one I use most on people. When nothing else works, I can enter slowly into their minds and hearts and nobody notices. Once I'm in there and I get them discouraged, I can do whatever I want with them. This tool is so worn out because I've been using it since the dawn of humanity, and it works with everybody. What does that story say to us? It's a fictional story, and yet it's not. Discouragement can be deadly. It saps the life out of us. It takes our energy and drive away from us, and it can lead into depression and despair. But here's the good news. Jesus is an encourager. Do you believe it? Jesus is an encourager. We would want to know Jesus even better, as this series goes, because he offers us encouragement for living. He lifts our spirits through his love and promises. And today we're going to look closely at a couple of simple parables Jesus shared with his disciples after some resistance they encountered. Jesus was hard at work teaching in the synagogues, and he decided to heal a particular woman. He didn't heal everybody, as we know, but he decided to heal a particular woman who had been crippled for 18 years, and that good deed, it was a very good deed, but he was taken to task by the religious leaders, that synagogue leader, because he healed her on the Sabbath. Will you say with me this term really, like we do sometimes when we just can't believe it? It's often we say, really? Really? How discouraging. Something good happens that changes the life of a person. And Jesus, our leader, the one who's marching toward Jerusalem, he's on this mission to get to Jerusalem. It's in the final 6 months toward, you know, consummating the greatest event that would happen in human history, and we're following this man, and well, we know that the Romans are against us, but now even the seemingly good guys are nitpicking Jesus rather than picking him as their Savior Messiah to usher in this brand new sense of kingdom on the earth. Oh my, but Jesus is getting whacked right before their eyes. How discouraging that must have begun to affect them. In fact, we often believe it does, because Jesus quickly brings some encouragement to the situation. And we need this in our lives, don't we? Sometimes we just think, okay, we're just getting beaten up, we're getting overwhelmed, things aren't going the way we had envisioned. They're taking some turns, and sometimes we're feeling beaten down. And Jesus wants us to come to him for encouragement. He wants us to listen to his words. He wants us to grasp his promises for our lives. We will need that in discouraging times, my friends. So listen to Jesus as he shares a couple of comparisons that are so rich and can truly bring encouragement to our lives as we'd understand them. They're on your handout that might be in front of you. They're on the screen before you. Jesus asked, what is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches. And again he asked, what shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. That's it, the way Luke presents it. Remember, in this summer series, for those of you that are newer with us, we're just walking through Luke, kind of hearing the story of Jesus to know Jesus better. And Luke places this couple of parables right after a believed to be a very discouraging event for the disciples who are following him. And so let's capture this encouragement that Jesus gives to them and to us. Look at the picture. A grain of mustard was the tiniest seed that farmers sowed in ancient Israel. And you can see just how tiny that little seed of grain would be. And yet it grew into a bush-like tree that stood as much as 12 to 15 feet tall. And the birds there therefore enjoyed nesting in mustard trees. It was common to see lots of birds in them. So Jesus' parable illustrates how this tiny seed grew into a large tree that gave shelter and nourishment to the birds of the air. The yeast or leaven, this little amount that's placed inside of some dough, expanded and influenced and transformed that whole amount, enlarging that amount of dough. What's the point of Jesus' parables? Why is this encouraging? Jesus is teaching that the kingdom of God will grow from something small and seemingly insignificant into something large that provides shelter and nourishment for all who enter it. In the parable of the leaven, Jesus illustrates the power of the gospel of the kingdom, power to change the world, even as a very few of them, his disciples, would come in contact with other people. Jesus would use other illustrations, and he would say that you, including us, are the light of the world. Your little bit of light can bring and lighten to a darkness in lives, in communities, in cultures. That you are the salt of the earth. Salt, just a little bit, has an influential power to change. Jesus is saying, you're change agents. You are change agent in your home, among your extended family, in your neighborhood, in your community, in social engagements, in schools, in your work environments, in the church. We're change agents. Something happens when we come around. And he wants to share just how great a thing it is to be in kingdom. Let's look at a first application. Just like a small mustard seed or a little yeast or leaven will grow into something larger later, what is starting small in their movement, this little start of the church or the kingdom of God, this is like the kingdom. It's just small. It's tiny now. There's resistance. And everything else around us is grand and big, but we're just this small little group. Jesus and the dozen. And some that might come, might not. Small little group. and they're trying to make their way. And it's discouraging sometimes to be small. It's discouraging to be overwhelmed by everything around us. And if there's resistance, even more discouraging. Jesus wants them to lift their eyes to a brighter future and be encouraged that the kingdom of God will grow too. Just like this mustard seed turns into this tree. And just like leaven can influence and develop a whole larger amount of bread dough. Just like that happens, so will it happen to you. You'll start out small group, and then one day, there'll be many more. There will be progress. There will be growth. And your influence, the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, will permeate and cause growth in other people and multitudes of people. That's what Jesus wanted them to get right now. Why? So they would keep going, so that they would remain faithful when discouraging times come. That which is tiny now and looks hopeless and seems weak, feels overwhelming, pressed down, intimidated, and fearful, will, as they and us today, live under the reign of the real and living God. It's called kingdom living, my friends. We will powerfully grow. We will grow in our own hearts, in our own character, into the likeness of Jesus, and we will grow in numbers as more people receive the gospel of grace in their lives. In his book, Witness Essentials, Dan Meyer lists some statistics about the growth of the church around the world. In 1900, Korea had no Protestant church. Today, there are over 7,000 churches in just the city of Seoul, South Korea. At the end of the 19th century, the southern portion of Africa was only 3% Christian. Today, 63% of the population is Christian, while membership in the churches in Africa is increasing 34,000 people per day. In India, 14 million of the 140 million members of the scheduled caste have become Christians. Oh my. More people in the Islamic world have come to Christ in the last 25 years than in the entire history of Christian missions. In Islamic Indonesia, the percentage of Christians is now so high, around 15% is believed, that the Muslim government will no longer print statistics. In China, it is estimated that there are now more self-avowed disciples of Jesus than members of the Communist Party. Even the most conservative estimates suggest that China will soon have more Christians than any other country. Across the planet, followers of Jesus are increasing by more than 80,000 per day. 510 new churches are started every day across the world. Wow! Give it up for what the Lord's doing. Oh, friends. Started less than 3 years ago with three households, moved up from Albany, Oregon. Now there are over 80 households involved in the branch church on a monthly basis. And we just praise God for that. He causes the growth. Give it up for God. Give it up for the Lord. We have on the platform today the beginnings of a new church being planted in southeast Portland. And there's already a big group of folks involved in seeing that seed of a few grow and reach many. And they will have an amazing influence. Kyle and Ruth are on assignment today. Once a month they will be, from now on, not be here because they're going to be out visiting and talking to people out there in where they're being planted, where they moved now and have a home. And so, but they are this first family, this one little family that's going to start a church. And some of you will be part of that church, I know, but I mean, but that's how it starts. That's how it goes. And one day they'll fill a room like this and have another service like we do behind this one. So friends, this is what God is doing. This is an encouraging thing to understand it. And Jesus looked around at things in his day. See that little seed? This is like the kingdom of God. It grows into this tree over here. Just like the kingdom of God will. Don't be discouraged about what you're getting faced with today. You feel small. You feel tiny. You feel overwhelmed. It's a struggle. Don't get discouraged. Look at these encouraging ways of looking at the power of small things. Let me read to you Revelation 7. I think I have verse 9 up here. And the kingdom of God will continue to grow until a great multitude that no one can number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, are standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." That's meant to encourage us in the book of the Revelation, where the theme is overcome, overcome, overcome. That theme is there because there'll be discouragement. There'll be discouraging times. There'll be discouraging events. And so we look at what God is doing. And so we plant, we water, but God causes the increase or the growth. And He does as we are faithful with some things. Jesus wants us to get the big picture of the kingdom as it's represented here as the church on earth. And it's encouraging to hear these things. He wants His first disciples and us to understand and be encouraged. Let me share with you some fill-ins that you might want to write in there on your notes. Consider the expansive power. Jesus wants us to consider the expansive power of some small things and understand the kingdom is like that. You can expect that. It's a promise. The kingdom will grow. It will happen. So, don't despise that second fill-in. Don't despise the day of small things. Don't despise the day of small things. There is a day of small things. We must understand that. And small beginnings can be discouraging, can't they? They can. You know, as we started this church, there were some discouraging times. You know, it was like, okay, and I'm like, all right, my boss is coming to town. Can you show up? And there was this whole small group that shows up. It's like, okay, well, we just keep going. We just got to keep going. And it's just how that kind of works, you know. Don't despise the day of small things. Just be faithful with the small things. Be faithful to me, disciples, Jesus says. And your the seed, this leaven, it has this amazing expansive power connected to it, like in the church. Little is much, the third one down. Little is much if God is in it. Little is much if God is in it. Say that one with me. Little is much if God is in it. Do you believe that? If God's in it, it's not going to be little. There's a power inherent in that. Just like there's power in a seed. The seed has to die before it can produce a new plant. It's crazy. But there's life in that seed. That's the power of God. There's life in us. God plants His Spirit in us. And that Spirit's like a down payment, we say, an earnest toward our inheritance in heaven. This is not the end. This is the beginning of the incredible forever internal life after death happens here. So, wow. He who is faithful, the last one, he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. These are Jesus' words out of Luke 17 and 10. He was faithful, look at that, in a very little thing. So Jesus wants us to value being faithful to the small in life. He doesn't want us to despise the small things. Oh, I'm only about big things. Big things are great. I mean, the church turns into a big thing. God wants the multitudes. Jesus preached to the multitudes. So there's nothing wrong with big. It's just that a lot of times in life, we're going to have a little. And He wants us to be faithful with that. What is it that we do have? A resource, perhaps, or things that are in our heart? He wants us to be. So we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith that God is doing something in kingdom through us. Through individual us. So I want to get a bit more personal right now. Have you ever been confused or discouraged when it comes to your walk with Jesus? Have you ever thought you'd be farther along than where you are now? I say these questions because I can answer yes in both cases. Perhaps you've been discouraged at the growth in your own life, I believe Jesus would want to say to you today, take heart. Take heart. God is not finished yet. His kingdom may have started small in your life. It may still be kind of small in your heart, but it will grow and continue to grow. Jesus is saying in this passage today to remember things may look small and insignificant now in our lives, in our faith, perhaps at times may seem small to us, but you know, it may be our ministry to others we think is insignificant. I don't really contribute that much. I'm kind of not that important. Not needed. The fruit of your life, spiritually, you may not feel is very significant. But here's what Jesus would want us to understand. He has saved you. He has put himself in with you, in your heart. The Spirit of Jesus is in you. You will grow. You will grow. He wants you to believe that. He wants you to believe in the power of something small in you. A little work of grace will expand and flourish in your heart that will motivate you and cause you to engage more, cause you to give more of your life to others, give more of your life to the kingdom things happening in the world. It will have. He wants you to hang in there. He wants you to stay faithful. Keep doing the things that you should do, even if things don't seem to be progressing like you would like them to. This is really important. It's important for these early disciples. It's important for those of us that are early in our walks with Jesus. It's important for those of us that are jumping aboard a new church that, you know, this is higher risk church, okay? It just is. And sometimes we're called in these churches to, boy, step up sometimes more than you might have to in an established church sometimes. So Jesus just says, don't be discouraged when it seems like your progress in following him seems small and significant. There's lots of resistance. Not everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. You don't seem to be persistent. God will work as you are faithful. And one day your faith will stand strong, stronger, and like a great oak tree perhaps. Be encouraged. Consider that tiny bit of leaven to a big loaf. Consider that tiny mustard seed to a big tree. These passages are passages sometimes I go to when suffering starts to happen in my life. And, you know, I haven't suffered very much, really. Okay, so it's like, okay, it's relative. And then look what Paul wrote here. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. That's an encouraging verse to me, friends. Our light and momentary troubles, he says in another place, are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. He's saying there's this thing happening now, and you're feeling pressed down and crushed and tiny, insignificant, weak. Is it worth it? And Jesus wants to lift our eyes. God wants to lift us up to see the grand horizon that's before us. These simple parables help to do that. Now I want you to look now, just kind of a last section here related to these parables. The potential of the little thing with God in it. There's incredible potential with just a little thing with God in it. But let's look at it in a slightly different way. You ever heard of the bigger and better game? Youth groups do this. I'm not sure we've done it. You know, you start with an object, and you go start knocking on doors around the community to trade up to something bigger and better and see if somebody will trade. You know, you guys do garage sale shopping, don't you? People are getting rid of some great stuff out there, aren't they? You think it's great. They think it's like trash, you know? It's like, people are willing to trade. Well, like one kid went and has an old shoe, and he ended up bringing back the same night a car. He traded up for an automobile. Now, it probably wasn't a very great automobile, somebody's $200 or $300 automobile, but it drove home, and so he traded an old shoe for an automobile. Okay, so that inspired this guy named Kyle McDonald to start his trading up project in 2005, which came to be known as the One Red Paperclip. One red paperclip, starting with one red paperclip. Pick it up. There's a red paperclip. Just pick that thing up in your hand. That is not very big. It gets swallowed up, gets lost. just a small little paperclip. He started with one red paperclip, and he traded up in just 14 trades in 1 year, within 1 year, to a final trade for a house. So here's the red paperclip, and there's the house. In 1 year, he traded a paperclip like you have right there, and he ended up with that house. This is a project. It's all over the web. You can go, you know, oneredpaperclip.com. He's got a TED Talk. Listen to the 13-minute TED Talk. It's fascinating. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. There. Here's the life-changing question that propelled his life into this amazing journey toward bigger and better. What would happen, he asked, as he sat at his desk, if I did something with this paperclip, this red paperclip? What would happen if I did something with this red paperclip? And he launched himself with this tiny little object on this trade-up project. Small thing, what kind of potential could there be in this small thing if I did that? And I would like to ask you to ask yourself a life-changing question today as we come to conclude in our services. What would happen if you and I did something with, fill in the blank, fill in the blank. It's something small, like a seed, like leaven. But as God is in it, if it's a kingdom thing, if it's under the reign of Jesus, it has an expansive power. But we must be faithful with it. We have a part to be faithful with a very little thing, that God might grow our capacity and responsibility for even more fruit and production. How often have our efforts for God been attacked by the enemy? He's a discourager. We can get so discouraged sometimes with the things that are small and seemingly insignificant, even though they're kingdom things, that we don't even want to engage much more or even try again. But God delights, friends, in taking the insignificant and the small and making something out of it. He delights in doing that in your life. Down through history, we can see the pattern. Moses' rod delivered the Israel from Egypt. The jawbone of a donkey that in Samson's hand killed 1,000 Philistines. If you haven't seen that movie on Samson, that scene is an incredible thing. You think of 1,000 Philistines and Samson with the jawbone of a donkey. It's incredibly illustrated in that movie. Small thing. Five smooth stones toppled the giant Goliath from the sling of David. A handful of meal and a jar of oil sustained a widow through years of famine. Five barley loaves and a couple of fish fed a multitude, 5,000 plus women and children. Small things that God will use in our lives to accomplish things of the kingdom. What little thing, what little dream. May we have despised. It's a good question to consider, friends. What would happen if I did something with? Let me throw out some stuff. If I did something with the Bible, maybe more than you are. We have a Bible reading plan for August on the tables. Please take them, please use them, you know. What would happen if I decided to read a little bit each day, or a little more each day? You know I nag about this, right? Everybody say yes. I'm a nagger about that. Yeah, I will claim it. What would happen if I prayed for a particular person that maybe we haven't prayed for, maybe we've even despised, and therefore despised praying for? What would happen? What would happen if I was planting an increased funds into the God's kingdom work? What would happen if I used an invitation to share something in my work environment to the Family Fun Fest? What would happen if I shared a word of encouragement, perhaps an affirmation or some appreciation to a particular person that was struggling? What would happen if I gave a small gift to somebody and maybe tried to do that on a regular basis? What would happen if I shared a testimony about what God's doing in my life, even after, you know, coming away from this message? Maybe what would happen if I took the time and just went and visited some of my time, and a lonely or a struggling person? What would happen if I took some time to serve for an hour or two, as God is prompting me to? What would happen? What would happen if I took something seemingly fairly small and I just engaged it more? It's like a little leaven or a seed planted, just a little. And who knows what could happen with God in it? Little is much if God is in it. Okay, friends, we're going to share communion as we do Sunday by Sunday here at the Branch. I'm going to ask our band to come forward and share their final song following our taking of communion together. And I want to encourage you to take communion if you're a follower of Jesus. Here's the deal. You don't have to take this communion, okay? It's at your tables. It's in a little mini communion tray. And you can take it or not, but you're encouraged to. Jesus would ask you to remember him. And so we do this on a weekly basis. Maybe just my thought is, as part of why we do this, outside of tradition, is that I need it. I need to remember, refocus, realign my life. And so I remember that Jesus is my encourager. Above all encouragement in life, he's the one that's promised me eternal life. He's the one that sacrificed himself for me. He's my real encourager. He's the one life, think about this, the one life planted in this world to die that would bring a harvest of souls. Think about it. All of us, all of those who will be of faith, and everyone potentially can be in heaven one day because of his one solitary life. An amazing thing that God does. He saved the world. He gave us the kingdom to live in. I'd like you just to consider and appreciate the little that you might have to plant and be faithful with, perhaps as part of your moment of reflection in our communion. I'm going to see if I can borrow one, or I'll have to take it. Thank you. Invite you to take it with me. Oh God, thank you for this little piece of bread, this little bit of grape juice that reminds us. You call us to this, to remind us what you did for us. For our salvation, you gave up your life. The bread which speaks to the body broken open, and the blood, the juice that your blood was shed, your life blood you gave yourself for us. We thank you again this day. We remember what you did, and we call ourselves to be faithful to you as your early disciples were. In Jesus' name, amen. Take communion together now.